Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me today is the one, the only co-host of KFI's Wake Up Call, news anchor extraordinaire for the Bill Handel Show, and what I like to lovingly call my my work buddy and real buddy, let's be honest, Aaron Bender.
Hey, Justin Worsham.
1A in Aaron for everybody who's listening along at home. That's very important.
Just 1A, yeah.
Get that out of the way. Here's the thing that is going on with me and my life, Mr. Bender, and then we'll get into you and your statistics. Bender's got two daughters, so anytime I have somebody on the show with daughters, I got to figure out what is it like to raise little ladies. So it's vacation. Happy New Year to you, sir.
And to you as well. Thank you. And all the Dad Podcast listeners.
You haven't had this yet. Have you and your lady had like a night or even a weekend away from the kids?
No. No. I think the most that we've spent away from them was probably 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
Max.
Like a date night.
Yeah, it was a date night. We've had a couple of anniversaries like that.
Yeah.
We recently went on a Disney cruise. And they have a, quote, adults only or slash no kids restaurant. And you have to make reservations at that restaurant. And my grandma and grandpa, my mom and her husband, Gordon, they watched the kids for that evening, that night. And it was odd. It's so weird looking at another adult wondering, what do I say to you? What are we supposed to talk about?
Right.
The kids are not here. Why are we talking about the kids only? We got some career and other life stuff kind of out of the way in the beginning. And then we looked at each other. We're like, we haven't even ordered yet. We have nothing to talk about. It's so weird.
It is a funny thing in that two things. Number one, you're on a Disney cruise, which is a family destination for vacations. Mm-hmm. And I would be willing to bet that the reason you have to make a reservation for the adults only restaurant isn't because it's highfalutin or even to make it feel like it's highfalutin, because it is the restaurant with the highest demand on a Disney cruise. Because not only do you have parents who are like, I just want a night alone. But you also are dealing with people who are just Disney fanatics that don't have children. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you could be a Disney fanatic and hate children. That, to me, is your own burden that you got to carry.
That's
with
another
you.
Show.
Right. But, yeah, and I've been through that. We've had a couple. That's kind of why I brought this up, is that we went up to my dad's for Christmas. And then we came home by ourselves on Saturday, New Year's Eve. And we always, like, get 2 to 3 days in, and then I start to miss the kids.
Yeah.
But you go out to these dinners and it's you sit there and you're like, am I sitting here silently because I am so used to being in a rut of telling someone to sit down, shut up. No, don't throw that. No, keep it on your plate. Sit on your butt. Stop doing that.
Oh, Marin, yeah, are you eating? Eat. Take a bite. Eat. Not that much chocolate milk. Eat. Yeah. Eat. Bite. Eat. Bite. Sit. Bite.
She is three pieces of chicken or no dessert. If you don't eat three pieces of chicken, no, you eat your meat, you get a treat. You know the rules.
Last night
I put them in a condescending rhyme so your simple mind can remember them. Eat your meat, get a treat.
It's so sad because as the 4-year-old is refusing to eat a green bean, the other one can't stop from shoving whole green beans down her mouth
which you know is a meeting that they had. You know that, right? They had a meeting by themselves and go, listen, green beans are going to be my healthy food. You pick your own because we can't both eat the same thing.
Right. She's downing mushrooms like they're Skittles. Yes. And we're like, oh, that's great. How about a green bean? Nah, not tonight.
And then just to really push you over the top, to make you just close to jumping off of a bridge, when you pitch them the idea of a mozzarella cheese stick, like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
You haven't tried it. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Nope. I could just tell by I don't like it.
No. Nope.
Too sticky.
But if you give them string cheese that has just been warmed in the microwave to where it's soft and a little gooey, then it's on. It is 2-3 sticks. Warmth. They're good.
You said warmth. Like I don't even know if that's a thing, but it's so true. You found the cheese stick to mozzarella cheese stick, like, or string cheese to mozzarella cheese stick. You found the B, like the half, the mid step, the evolution. You know how they have the Natural History Museum of like the monkey going up to the man. You invented a Natural History Museum evolution of how the mozzarella cheese stick was created. Yes. And you can even get them just there.
Yep.
And they'll be like, now that's what I call delicious.
That is fantastic.
Well, to imagine it warm.
Yeah.
But I've also fried it. Have you ever seen a county fair? That is attacking the small limpet part of your brain for everything that is delicious. And you're saying no. You poo-poo this.
And she'll eat bacon, so I know she likes the fried stuff. This girl eats Spam like it's potato chips. loves her some Spam and things like that. But yeah, like a cheese stick, a chicken nugget, anything. Nah.
Does your wife like Spam?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Spam is big in the Philippines.
Oh, that's right. Yes. We
can get into all that later on.
I did the white guilt thing where I knew your wife was Filipino. The listeners did not know the wife was Filipino, so it just sounds like I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I was kind of asking to say, like, because I was like, I think that's big in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But
I feel like, but wait a minute. I'm not
the white
sure.
devil does not know Do where.
I grew up. I'm vilifying Spam, to be honest. Like who eats Spam?
Yes.
What the heck? I can't go a week without having it at least 3 times now.
You love it.
Oh, I love it.
My brother loved it growing up, but I never could.
I spent the first 35 years of my life never even trying it, which might be why my 4-year-old refuses to try anything I try to give her, because it's in the genes.
Yeah.
But I'll fry up Spam and we'll eat it with rice or on like the little Hawaiian bread sandwiches. Oh, it's good times.
I'm getting off topic, but I think it's interesting. And looking back, I feel like a can of Spam is somehow hidden in a cabinet in every apartment that you live in.
Oh, for sure.
Like it was there before you. I don't think I've ever purchased a can of Spam in my life, but there is some kind of a Spam elf on a shelf, if you would. Like there's
now when you do rental properties,
some small Samoan, like you know, a miniature Samoan man in a grass skirt is going around magically placing cans of Spam in people's cabins.
You manage buildings and things like that. I would imagine as you go through and you're like, oh, they're good. They cleaned out the cow. Whoa.
Here's the thing. I think it is a Christmas miracle. I think I could go through, do a walkthrough, make sure that all the cabinets are barren. And then when the person, I don't know what happens because when they move in, I don't go in there. And they go in there like, oh, somebody left a can of Spam. I guess I'll leave it.
Then why not?
Yeah. It's pay it forward.
It's Spam, Twinkies, and I'm trying to think of one other, like corned beef hash.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So to get back to
the vacation, you're 2 or 3 days in before you start missing them.
Yeah. And we had a dinner the other night. We went to down here in Los Angeles. If anybody lives here or is visiting, Tam O'Shanter in the Los Feliz area. You ever been?
Yep.
Oh, so many scotches. I'm way into scotch now all of a sudden. And just a good prime rib, like it's an old school place. Ooh. And there's a fun story where, oh, you're a big Disney fan too, so you probably know this part, where the guys who animated Snow White would eat lunch there.
No, I didn't know that. I'm not a big Disney fan, as in like a Disney honk or wonk. I love Disney. I don't know even if either of those words are correct.
Because if you knew those terms, then I'd be like, well, I'm going to call bullshit. Okay, back to what you were saying.
But I'm a Disney fan because of my daughters. Prior to having children, I was almost anti-Disney because it just, as a single guy growing up in California and Florida, where Disney has its huge destination. I say growing up, my career was in Florida for a few years. Disney was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. And yet it had nothing for me. It offered me nothing, except now it offers me the biggest smiles ever on, you know, my girl's face. So that's
why. They are
that's
magical why. with their ways. And but so Tam evidently, O'Shanter. Tam O'Shanter, the guys who animated, they have a table there with a plaque. And I think it's the dwarves' house or whatever in Snow White is actually modeled after the design of Tam O'Shanter, which is supposed to be like an old Scottish pub or something.
Yeah.
But it's great food. So we're sitting there, and that's where I kind of had, this is now This would have been Sunday. So this is only day two of us being by ourselves. And first day is usually filled with tons of sex. That's how it works for, you know, like we had sex like we were kids again. You don't know this, Bender, and I'm sorry to overshare with you.
I've listened to the podcast.
We're coworkers.
And
it's different when it's in your face, ain't it?
It really is.
Much
it
like my
is.
Sex life. So what we used five times a day when my wife and I first moved in together. No exaggeration. I'm not trying to brag. I'm more saddened. It's worse. I know that you listening to this going, this son of a bitch is rubbing my nose in it. I'm going, no, I'm telling you how great you have always had it. Because when you go from five times a day, right? Here's the thing. When you're not married to your high school sweetheart like I am, you go through these young days of constantly fornicating, and then you come out of that going, oh, well, that's just because I was young. Those were younger times. But when you get to not just her either, I'm telling you, this is a mutual. I literally, while staring across, much like watching Jodie Sweetin arise into the beautiful woman she is today, right?
Fuller House.
Yep. My house became fuller while my sexual house became more like a small condominium in the Lower East Side of New York City, I imagine. Like some kind of small, not even a loft, really. It's like, yeah, but and to see that happening while you're doing it with the same person, you can't help but go, aging is horrible because my wife is still hot. No way that it is not her, so it has to fall back on me is that one of us is becoming less attractive, and we all
I think we can all agree.
There are people listening to this, never even seen a picture of me, and they know it's me. Right?
Yes.
So
Judge, I concur.
So I sit there, and so to go from that and to see it, you know, diminish down. So when we get the time away from the kids, and that was kind of the whole reason I wanted to bring all this up, is that we go out, we have the crazy sex day where we're like, we're 22 again, and it's awesome. I still kind of got a little bit of a sniper situation where I need a longer refractory period than once I did. Just tell me, I don't know if your face rub means that this is, is this an
this
edit?
This is all fine. This is all fine because I am
now. Is this
not
what you talk about with your friends?
From the microphone and soaking it all in.
And then you can play this for your wife and then she goes, see how great you have it? That's also my purpose. Guys that listen will turn their wives onto the show so that they can realize how good their men are. That's my purpose. So anyway. We do the sex day, and now we're at the Tam O'Shanter. I'm enjoying some scotch, and there's lots of silence. And I can't help but think, I'm like, is my marriage falling? Right. What's going to happen when the kids leave? But it's not that. It's because you need an airlock of time. You need to decompress because you're so used to sit down and eat these cheese sticks. They're delicious. No, it's not a warm mozzarella string cheese. It's the same exact cheese, but fried. There's marinara with it. No, you like marinara. You put it on your spaghetti.
Yeah.
Why are you, you know, that kind of thing. And then there aren't really topics of conversation, but you have chit chat.
Yes.
And the problem with chit chat in a marriage post children is that you are so used to when you do talk. When I talk to my wife, especially now with my schedule where she comes home and about an hour and a half later I go to bed, it is not a marital conversation. It is a military debriefing. There's a ceremony.
We have rules, actually, for whoever arrives is not to be pounced upon with questions and information. Whoever arrives, it does not matter if it's me or her or both of us at the same time. We kind of go to our separate corners.
And when you have to decompress?
Yeah, when that decompression happens, because if she is usually pounced upon by one or both of the children when she gets home from work. I am usually waved at by the children when I get home. Daddy, hey. Hey, yeah, no, I'm doing this over here. Okay, take care.
You're home? All right, good to see you.
That's kind of the extent of it.
Hey, could you warm up some string cheese for me?
They hear the garage, and the look of disappointment on their faces when I walk in and she doesn't is palpable. But that's the thing. We have a rule. We do not bother the other one with questions right as somebody gets home. It's too much. Too much. Especially, again, with the kids.
Yeah, and it's the exact same. Now, here's the thing. I've always, but you see, before you even started working mornings, you were working nights here at the radio station
right.
for most of your kids' lives, right?
Right.
So you were home with them during the day.
Yeah, I was daddy all day and news anchor at night.
So it's not a dad thing per se. It is whoever, because although I don't know, maybe we have some other stay at home moms who could say the same. Like if they ever get to leave, because I feel like stay at home moms are always stuck. Yeah. If that makes sense, like not that they're completely unhappy, but it's this idea of the point I'm trying to make is that when my wife comes home. It's not just the kids, but it's also the dog. They all go nuts. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's losing their mind. By the way, I have to say this because it made me crack is that Bender, it's warm in the studio. We're recording at the radio station and you stood up and Bender has this amazing bit that it makes me so happy inside.
I was not gonna do
that. Every time I start to tell a story, he finds a way to leave the room either in my line of sight or even better, to much more my delight, he will leave when I'm not looking at him and I'll just keep talking. And so you stood up to take
you thought I was just going to leave.
I was wrestling with the idea of, is he doing it? And is it funnier if I just let it happen? Or
no, I am enjoying a hot beverage.
Yes. And it's warm in here. Maybe it's just because I'm laughing.
It's a little bit of both.
Or it could be the sexual tension.
I made the poor decision of wearing a jacket in the studio. And I'm flop sweating over here. Not to mention with the conversation, it's a little uncomfortable because I'm not somebody who talks about my marriage publicly.
Yeah.
I talk about my kids and I talk about my family dynamic, but then it starts to get kind of like, well, what could I think? No, you know what? I think the debriefing is fine. We can go debriefing. Okay. Right, melted cheese. Okay. Then we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good. We're good.
We're going to navigate through this. I don't know what I was going into, but let's do this because I think what is far more go ahead.
The Tam O'Shanter. You've kind of got that decompression vapor lock position, that airlock where basically
when she
walk
comes
in.
Home, everybody's always excited.
Right.
That's what it was.
Right.
Everybody's always excited. The dogs, everybody's excited. When I come home, dog could care less. Now I have just a little dog and like she lifts her head up on the couch and just kind of like sometimes gives me a tail wag. Right. You know what I mean? Right. But when she comes in, it's always like, there's dancing involved. And I don't know if it's that I don't love my kids, but after this little interaction, I think it is. When you are the person who is in their face, it is not an event when you come home.
That's right.
So, and then I think it's also because now you're not home during the day usually with them. You're home in the evening. So, but then there hasn't been enough time where you know what I mean? When you come home, home from the road, it was kind of an event a little bit, but not
daddy's home.
Yeah.
Right.
A little bit, but not the same. But anyway, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. And I want to, if you don't mind, I would like to hear about your fun times in raising daughters.
Let's do it.
Because I don't know anything about that. And it always fascinates me.
Neither do I.
All right. All right. We're back. I have two boys, as you know, Aaron Bender, eight and now five eight, whatever.
The Jack and the Jacob.
The Jack and the Jacob. You have two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a guy who's like, I want daughters? Were you a guy who's like, I'm indifferent? Or do you fall into the category of like, 10 fingers, 10 toes?
I feel like I was kind of indifferent because I think it was all surreal to me, really, that, wow, I'm about to become a father? That's really weird to me. And I guess I always imagined my having a son, because growing up, especially as an only child, that's all I knew was the life of as a little boy.
Oh, yeah.
So when the doctor told us that we're having a girl, or I guess the technician, it just all was just really odd to me, just really just surreal. And then after we had Marin, who's now four, and we learned that my wife was pregnant with our second daughter, Wiley, who's now almost 2 years old, I was actually really glad that we were having another girl, because I said, I was like, I'm really comfortable with this species right now, the raising a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it won't or it hasn't had its challenges, won't have some really catastrophic type, stuff over the next 10 to 15 years as they, because my 4-year-old is going on 14.
Yeah.
She really does like, she's becoming very independent. We can get into that. She's becoming very independent now when like she's going to the bathroom or something like that, whereas she needed a lot of help for the last year and a half since she was potty trained. And I asked her, I think it was just last night. I was like, Maren, do you need any help? And I was happened to be walking by the bathroom, and she says, no, don't see me. And she shut the door. I'm like, all right, okay, I'm raising a 14-year-old in a 4-year-old's body. Okay.
Yeah. That is like the 5-year-old version of, Dad, come on.
Right,
like,
yeah. And so the when we found out we were having another girl, I was like, okay, that's okay. I'm comfortable with that because I don't know. I mean, you make do. You just learn on the job. It's trial by fire. I get that. But I was really glad to learn that we were having that second daughter because I was kind of in that comfort zone. Like, okay, I know how to do that. I know how to do this and that and the other. Cool. We're good. And so now that I think about it, I can't think of, just as you probably can, you can't think of life without them. Mm-hmm. Like if they were, and I ask my wife sometimes, I said, you know, what would you think about Maren? Like if she just ate a little bit more, less picky or anything like that. And she's like, you never know what that might do. Because if you change that, the butterfly effect, where if you change that one thing about her, who knows what else might be impacted or affected. I'm like, I might be less frustrated. That might be impacted.
I can see
affected.
How the butterfly wing hits this side of the room.
Right.
I don't know what things are like on that side. But
that's one of the big, that's my only complaint, honestly, about the 4-year-old is she does not eat as diversified.
And that's everybody. And it's a weird thing where it seems like I used to liken it to having kids was like being a roommate with Charlie Sheen. Like you're just constantly walking around going, no, you can't do this.
Right.
No,
right,
this isn't. No, right. Stop saying things. You're the tiger's blood. No, you're just a person and you have to have some vegetables. It's just to be able to poop.
I know. That's the thing. How about some water today? Yeah. What about some water? You know, what do you think? Soft poop. That's a good thing. Yeah. Soft poop is a good thing. Oh, your butt hurts? Well, here, let me tell
you know what?
You why.
If you don't have the water. But she's not dealing with any like health issue. Because I know people that have had like anemia and stuff with the kids. God. But it is a weird thing as a parent where I am now on the other end of it too, where when I go to see my parents, they always make a big deal when the kids eat.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting is that just the two worlds where this, I think our generation of parenting has a little bit, not a little bit, a lot of extra guilt that comes with it, where it's like you want to really nail it. You want to do a good job and not put any kind of things on them and you overthink everything. Because my dad will say things like, oh, do you know how happy it makes me to see you eat? Like, like put some kind of emotional gravitas with it. Like, if you want grandpa to be happy, you have to eat everything on
it
your plate.
It is the first thing that we hear from either the nanny for a couple of days or grandma and grandpa for the other couple of days of the week. When we come home, it's the first thing they report. Maren ate all of her oatmeal this morning. All of it.
Now, she's super picky. My son started doing the salad sandwich, which is a slice of cheese. Sandwich with lettuce and two pieces of white bread. So it's like now here's the other thing. You can make a whole, so you could take two full slices and then put a slice of cheese on one piece of bread and a slice of cheese on the other. And then you lay a leaf of lettuce and then bring those bread together in a sandwich. But that's, rarely will he eat the whole thing because he's a small kid.
Yeah.
So what I do is I take one slice of bread, cut it in half, take one slice of cheese, cut it in half.
Done.
But you have to have, you can't, if the lettuce is touching the bread, now it's ruined.
It's ruined.
He's like Gordon Ramsay when I try to present him with undercooked risotto. Like, he's just like, get this the fuck out of my face. Are you shitting me? Are you shitting? It's raw. Like, I didn't even cook it. Why are you yelling? And who gave you that accent? Jesus.
She is, you know what? I would like her to be able to eat one of those sandwiches and request it because her palate is not at that refined.
What is it? Can I ask? Like, what is her favorite thing?
Her go-to is Spam and Jam.
There was Spam and Jam on
YouTube. I think the story that was read or the storybook or whatever was Ham and Jam, because Pam and I may have all the names mixed up, you know, as to who liked what, but Pam liked ham and Sam liked jam.
This is in a book.
This is either in a book or it's presented on YouTube as a story. So Pam liked only ham and Sam liked only jam. Well, they got together and they're like, hey, what about ham and jam? And she read that. She's like, Daddy, I want to try ham and jam. And so we did. Now, she doesn't like all kinds of ham. She only likes certain kinds of ham, like Christmas ham. Not so much. Maybe a little bit, but more like deli ham.
Yeah.
She likes the
like a black forest, right. But not a honey glazed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we tried it with Spam and she fell in love. So she's Spam and jam is her thing. Spam and jam.
That's her go-to.
That's her go-to. Spam and jam.
What does she go
hash,
on the side?
She
if likes, you're going to make like a lunch, corned beef and hash.
Corned beef hash. She loves. Yeah. She loves. That's just it. It's like she doesn't have a wide variety of things, but the things she likes are like, you really like that? And she loves it. She loves corned beef hash mixed with rice to kind of thicken it up a little bit.
If there was a toddler network, right, I feel like your daughter would be the guy who goes around and eats cricket heads sauteed in some Thailand village. You know what I mean?
No, that would be Wiley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that would be Wiley. She'll eat almost anything. Almost anything. But Marin, who was at that stage at about this age, 1.5, 2 years old, she blew right past that stage and was like, I only like what I like. Now give me what I like. She does like a Supreme pizza, for example.
Okay. It doesn't have to be cheese.
Doesn't have to be. She's going through a little phase right now where she likes only cheese.
Yeah.
But that's like only a few weeks old. I can't speak to the validity of of how legit that phase is going to be. But for the longest time, extra olives, extra mushrooms on the cheese pizza.
Yeah.
No pepperoni. Doesn't like pepperoni and doesn't even really like cheese all that much for the longest time. So, yeah, she doesn't like a wide variety of stuff, but what she likes is kind of weird and odd sometimes.
Corned beef hash.
Loves corned beef hash.
Spam and jam.
Yep.
We'll do a Supreme pizza. Yeah. I got to keep digging. I want to go down this rabbit hole. If
she'll eat bacon. Just not raw bacon, you know, but just bacon with nothing else.
Yeah.
But doesn't like eggs. Even though she ate scrambled eggs as a baby, doesn't like them anymore. Wiley, on the other hand, eggs and guacamole every weekend morning.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm. Loves it.
With
loves
the guac.
It. Loves it.
How do you find the eggs and guacamole? Is that like a thing in the Bender house? Like,
well, I like to think that I'm a really good scrambled egg maker.
It sounds
so
like
there's
it.
That. And then Costco has a really good guacamole. So we thought to just try the guacamole, but just by itself, like as we're introducing foods,
right,
it's a
you
soft
put onions
food.
And peppers and scrambled eggs, and it's delicious. That's my favorite way to have them.
Yeah, and so that and so with the guac, we just tried it because we're like, well, it's good fat, it's some nice protein,
yeah,
it's soft. So as we're introducing these purees and things like that, why not? It fell in love, and as anybody who's seen me on the social media, Instagram, there's a video of her. And I'm trying to get her to say guacamole. It's mokey mokey.
Yeah, we give and it'll be in the description of this episode, but pretty much everything is at Aaron Bender, his name. Any video of your daughters, and I'm not sucking up to say this, is the most fucking adorable thing I have literally. I don't care what pug puppy is trying to read a telenovela. I don't even know what I said there, but I'm just saying there has never been a video that you've showed me of your daughters that does not it makes my ovaries burn with wanting more children.
I appreciate that. No,
they're freaking adorable.
And they're a lot of fun. They really are fun. And again, it goes to, when you when you hear about somebody who's losing their job or something like that, you're like, you know what? I liked him. I liked him. Even though maybe you didn't get along with him professionally, I liked him. And the same thing with parents and kids. You know, we complain all day about how they, you know, they don't eat this or they don't, you know, sit down or stand up or whatever. But end of the day, I love them to death. And so that's where it's at. It's and thank you for that. I really
appreciate
it's
great. That's also kind of the idea for me at the show. And I think the people that like it is that I think that's a given. I'm going to talk a ton of shit about my kids.
Right.
But every once in a while, as I'm sure the listeners can remember more than I can, I'm sure, I will start weeping like a baby myself about my children because I adore them and I love them. All right. Speaking of kids and parenting, let's take another break and then we'll come back and talk about this is something I did actually here on KFI with Jane Wells. I didn't get to go through all of them. But it's parental New Year's resolutions.
Oh, the resolutions.
Yes, this was her idea. She said, let's find some dumb parental New Year's resolutions. And I did some Googling, and I actually found a lot of content out of this. So we'll get into that when we come back. All right, we are back. It is the new year. And let's see. I got that right here in front of me. These are actual New Year's resolutions that were submitted to websites. There were parents.com, Bright Horizons is another one, and then Aha Parenting.
Okay, so somebody collected these.
Yes.
As parents said, my New Year's resolution, and now as parents?
Yes.
Not like I want to
when
work
I become
out
a
more,
parent.
Or, okay, okay.
No. These are all actual, most of them are moms because everything on the internet is for moms. That they're yep. Women are so much better at being communal at it, drives me up a fucking
I know wall. When I get on the message boards and talk about my two LOs, it's great.
I don't even get that reference.
That's so a well little done. One. It's
oh, little.
Oh, yeah. Little ones. And there's all kinds of acronyms so they don't have to keep.
I hope you're having a good time, Bender, because that little moment right there just got you in rotation, man. We got it. If you know about LOs, I have a lot to learn from you, my friend. So here's the first one. And this is a big one for me. It's a big hot button issue because it comes back to what I was talking about earlier is the parental guilt. And it says, don't say don't. I want to reduce how often I use the word don't. That means I'll say, please be kind to your brother instead of don't talk to him that way. I think it's better for our relationship. Oh, my God. Ooh. This already has me wringing my hands.
Yeah.
For me to not always be the source of negative reminders. When I do say don't for an important reason, maybe it'll stick more since they're not barraged by don'ts constantly. And there's another one from another website, which is in the same context, which says, say yes more. Try saying yes more to spending quality family time and doing things together. Now, that's a hot button thing for me, too, because every time my wife is really good at this, where she's like, let's just go on a walk and do a fun family thing. There's a some kind of a neuron in my child's brain, both of them, really, where that fire suddenly goes off like a fucking 4th of July fireworks show, the finale that says, oh, now that's my part. You have the part of the brain that tastes spam.
Right.
And then you have the part of the brain that goes, oh, my parents are trying to create a magical moment with me, so now I have to find multiple ways to poo-poo this and crap all over it and ruin it. And really just try to suck all existence, all joy out of everything that they did. By the way, only for me.
Yes.
Only for me to feel good and to have, we all want to have that, what is it, the painting, you know what I mean? The quintessential American family moment. I want to be an 80s sitcom for once in my life. That's what we try to do as parents. And then they fire that and ruin it. You don't worry about it, right? Am I crazy? You don't have to say yes to everything.
No, you don't have to say yes to everything. And there is sometimes something so sweet about simple. And yes. I get the walk. I totally get it. But sometimes, like, I grew up liking just lounging on the couch. And I kind of think that my daughters do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because they get out, Wiley has her mommy and me stuff at Marin's preschool when she's a so they get out and they do a lot of stuff. Whereas on weekends, we kind of chill because we spent all week just going. And on weekends, we just kind of chill. And we do sometimes feel guilty for that. But then we look around and we're like, you know what? My 1.5-year-old knows the ABCs. Because she watches these YouTubes and the 4-year-old loves her ABCs and counting and things. So you know what? It's going to work out. It's going to work out.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I don't know shit about anything. All right. But here's what I can tell you with 100% confidence. You're fine. And your kids are more than fine.
And we've talked about this
because
off the
you
air
even
before.
Know, you're even thinking about the fact that they know their ABCs.
Bingo.
That's all. You know what I mean? And this is why I get so heated about all of these things that we're about to try to comb through, although it doesn't look like we're going to get through any of them. But no, it's that this thing where it's like we have this new, the new way of doing things is that everybody is so worried about doing it right. And then they write these articles. Mm-hmm. And these articles are never about making you feel better. Somehow they're a way of using your existing guilt to either validate that guilt or cultivate it.
Right.
And I don't know why. Why is it such a bad thing to tell your kid no? Like, who's quantified? My father literally beat the shit out of me. He told me I was stupid, and I'm going to say it. I apologize because I know it's an offensive word, but he literally said these words. He multiple times said I was retarded. Multiple times to my 8-year-old face.
You tell the stories and I imagine myself in his position with my child and I'm like, I don't know that I could do that.
You can't.
And then I stepped like 3 steps away and I'm like, I could probably get away with
stuff. If you didn't have the guilty filter that we all have, and that's what he didn't have. Now, here's the thing. All I'm trying to say is that let's just get past the idea in any of our minds that because you tell your kid no more often than yes does not mean that your kid is going to grow up to be dysfunctional or that you don't love them. That it's the exact opposite. I've seen more people who are assholes I mean, assholes to their children. And I use myself as the largest example. My dad was pretty much, now here's the thing. He was a colossal asshole to me when it came to discipline in the moments where I needed it.
Right.
The unfair representation that my dad gets on this show, except for when he's on the show, I think a lot of people get it. But my dad was a great dad. He was there and he was invested. It's just that the funnier memories are of him telling me no and telling me that I'm stupid because I don't know what a 3/4 inch socket with a 16 or what is it? 3/16 inch socket with a 1/4 inch drive was when I was 7 years old and he was changing the brakes on the car. Like that is funny. And I still stand by it. A little bit of abuse makes people interesting. Not a lot, a little bit. So just don't worry.
Well, and consider this. If you look at life, raising a child as like a Plinko board and a Price is Right. Okay. It doesn't have to be that random as, you know, as that chip falls down toward the, hopefully the $10,000 price. And each of those is like a no or a yes, a no or a yes.
Yeah.
And it hopefully lands on that $10,000 prize. Now, if you never throw in a no or a yes, or if you never throw in that diversity of yeses and nos, more of this or more of that, whatever. It depends on the day.
Yeah.
It depends on their mood. I've got 1- and 4-year-old daughters who I don't know what kind of mood they just woke up in. I don't know if they're fighting a cold that they haven't shown us yet or if it's a growth spurt that we won't decide for a week or two. Oh, that was a growth spurt. Oh, that's why I wanted to strangle myself.
And
it just, you go through life on this Plinko board where it just guides you toward hopefully a $10,000 price, but you have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
No way to know.
No.
So don't feel bad. This is another one. Put a cap on your work day. Oh my God. This makes me.
We're going to move on. We cannot.
Nope. I got to.
Oh, God.
I try to never check email after 6 p.m. even though it never stops coming in. I let the day's tasks. This is, I love this. On some level, I'm jealous of a person who could actually feel this way to a point where I could put it in writing to live forever on the internet. I let the day's tasks, hassles, and responsibilities slowly melt off of me as I become present for my daughter. The computer got my attention all day. Now it's my daughter's turn. And the reason that this bothers me is because I get where this is coming from. I get an idea of wanting to create a balance. But as I said when I was talking about this with Jane Wells, is the people who are reading these articles are not the people that need to have that wake up call,
right?
They don't need to be told. They're the person who's already fretting enough. And that I think honestly, what they need to be told is that it's okay to work and it's okay to work hard because you're setting an example for your kid to have a strong work ethic and to vote and understand that all of this wonderful shit, the fact that we just went on a fantastic boat for a week in the Caribbean is because daddy's busting his ass and mommy works hard too. And we're all in this together.
Yep.
That's a great example. And I hate it. It drives, and I didn't really notice it until I had kids, but all of the family movies always seem to have some father and sometimes a mom too that is working too much and that therefore they're neglecting their family. Oh, is it really hard? The fact that there's Pop-Tarts. You have a horn of plenty of Pop-Tarts in the cupboard. Is that hard for you that daddy works so hard? Because it always pisses me off is that there's a moment when there's some big project that's on the line and then the kid comes in and is like, Dad, I need hope on my math homework. Okay, just give me a minute. Okay, number one. Have I ever yelled at my kids, give me a minute when I'm trying to send me any. Yes, but never the first time. Okay. Number one.
Right.
And number two, I think that they need to know what the real world is like. Cause one day, and I think that's what's happening. We're having a generation of people that are growing up thinking everything needs to be focused on them and that they don't have to really work as hard as people felt like they did before. Maybe that sounds like I need to start wearing my pants around my sternum. I don't know yet, but I'm just saying, I don't think you need to worry about your work day. Oh my God!
Yeah, the whole melting off of you that's not now anymore. That workday cannot melt off of you. You can wear it a little better. You can maybe lighten your load a little bit. But when I leave here and when I leave KFI or when I leave school, when I teach or run the radio station there, any of those. That when I leave there, that doesn't turn off.
No,
you know, I'm passionate about my jobs just as I am passionate about my family. And yes, you need to find that balance, but there's no melting off of anything. My wife does get on me about being on the phone all the time, But for example, you know, when a celebrity died, God, you know, God forbid that that's the example I give. But when a celebrity died,
it's the most recent. That's why it came to your head. Yeah, so, we've had a lot of it.
Yeah, I just happened to check Twitter the afternoon that Debbie Reynolds was in the hospital. Okay. And then 4 hours later, I check Twitter again just by chance, and she had just died. Now, my grandparents were not my grandparents, but the girl's grandparents were over at that time. That set off about an hour long conversation about mother daughter relationships and all these different things. And it was fascinating how it spanned the generations. And if I hadn't checked Twitter, because that's what I do for work when I'm not at work.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, we're not going to sit silent for an hour. But that was a conversation that was very interesting and fascinating. Now, it didn't really involve the girls all that much because, again, they're 1 and 4. They're not there yet.
But not everything has to.
Right, right. And the four-year-old is starting to understand. Marin is starting to understand death. And like, did somebody die? Okay, somebody died. And okay, now we have the conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
Like you said, it's okay.
Right. And to go back to my movie reference is that, because this is another part that always bothered me, is that you never get to see, you always see the end of the movie is when dad says, F you to the boss.
Right.
I don't need this job anymore. I'm going to take an easier job at a smaller company so I could focus more on my family. But there's never the sequel to that. There's never the sequel to where we get to see that now all of a sudden, and this isn't, here's the thing. I understand that we're not all materialistic, but I do think that there is something to be said of working hard for a certain level of comfort and a certain, you have to work hard to enjoy things. You can't just sit back and then wait for the enjoyment to come because my wife is not high maintenance by any means, but she also, I have at least learned, and I think she knows it too, is that we got to work to make a certain, we got a nut to cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She doesn't, it's not like she's going and getting Gucci everything, but she likes to go to Baskin Robbins a fuck ton. Okay. And that costs money.
Well, it's the idea of work to play.
Exactly.
And we are all about work to play.
Right. And I know that the subtext of that is balance, but I just hate the idea of making somebody turn everything off at 6 o'clock. And maybe I'm taking it too literally. I don't know. This is another one that I thought was crazy is, my resolution is to create a clean home environment for them to be a cleaning lady. Stay on top of laundry and all household chores. I want the baby to have an area to crawl around in without clutter. My four-year-old to be able to play with his trains and my husband to be happy, which will lead to a more pleasant home environment for the kids.
Wow.
Hey, lady, 1922 called and they want their values back. Holy shit. What time are you living in that you're like, I mean, here's the thing. Now, if I'm honestly looking at it to where I think today there is a trend. I don't think the people listening to this show are of this mindset, but there is a trend where I see it a lot in my younger friends that are female that it's like they have no domestic skills, and it goes the other side too. There's also dudes who can't fix anything around the house or don't even know how to change a tire on a car.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Huh?
You're looking at me like that. I understand.
No, I know you could fix stuff. You and I have time. We've had many a home improvement talk.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, but I also don't judge them.
Right.
I don't look down my nose and think I'm better, but I do think that you need to be able to have a certain set of domestic skills if you want to raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
You're cultivating a team, and you want to have people that, like, even if it was your wife. Say your wife knew how to, you know, she could talk about 4-barrel carburetors till the cows come home.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, listen, I make some mean scrambled eggs. That's fine, too. It's not even a gender role thing.
Right.
I'm just saying, but you can't. Both sides can't go, I don't do anything. That doesn't work. And that just makes for angry people.
And I can't wait for my children to have a great life.
Exactly.
The whole Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model thing.
Right.
Well, no, you are. Yeah. And you're doing something, whether it's picking up after the kids, watching the kids, stay-at-home mom or dad, as you and I have been those stay-at-home dads, you know, at least during the day. Accept your role, understand it, and don't judge others for having a different role.
Right. And here's the thing. Here's how it should be for everyone who has, especially small children. Your house should be a mess. Okay. Now she says room for the kids to play with trains and the daughter to crawl around on the floor.
How much of a mess is there that there's not even room for a train or a crawler?
She feels like a backup choice for a consideration on an episode of Hoarders, like the way she describes her house.
Right.
But I think that what she's doing is she's seeing it through her negative lens.
Yeah.
And that in reality, there's just a ton of toys everywhere.
Right.
Clutter. Kids still get around. It's totally fine.
Yep.
And that's how it's supposed to be when you have small kids. Here's how it's supposed to go. We got Fred's coming over for dinner tomorrow night. Great. I need to spend all day getting the house ready and cleaning it up. And then it gets cleaned up. Fred's come over. And then everything goes back to hell in a handcart again. Yes. That's how it's supposed to be.
We have a ball pit in the living room. Just going to leave that there.
The fact that you have a ball pit in your living room and that your daughters could ever complain about anything in their life is mind-blowing to me, right? But it's an inevitability. Yep. You have provided a ball pit, and because they are blind baby tiger cubs who have no idea what it is to live with sight or without a ball pit in the living room, is an unfortunate circumstance. It is a double-edged sword that I have been bitten by many a time, my friend. Here's some good ones that I actually liked, and we'll end with this and then do some moment of the week. This year, no more children in the bathroom with me. My daughter's two and understands how it works. At this point, it's just voyeurism.
Oh, man. I've had a couple of experiences.
with the bathroom?
Yes.
You're right, in the wheelhouse.
With both daughters. Not at the same time, but as that, like you said, that observation and the exploring and the curiosity. So I'm going to the bathroom because I need to, and I don't sit down because why would I? I'm a man
in your house, in your castle.
So a 2-year-old Marin is walking around. And I'm going, and I have to box her out from getting in the way. And I'm like, no, you know. And I will tell you that my aim still remained perfect.
Well done.
But then with Wiley,
working that key like Shaquille O'Neal.
With Wiley, it's a little different because she will try to shoot the A gap. And I find myself almost sitting on my daughter's head to keep her from then. Oh, yeah. So it's.
Oh, my God. That is because it's funny because in your house, you're the one with different plumbing. My wife one time, I can't believe I didn't remember this until just now. One time was getting out of the shower. And of course, Jack has to come in. And then he looks at her and goes, "Mom, where's your penis?"
Oh, no.
And then, like it's a sitcom, the older brother comes in. He might as well have had a monocle and a tobacco pipe in his hand because he goes, "Oh, dear brother, she has a vagina. Women have vaginas and boys have penises."
Oh, man. We throw around the Filipino words for all those things.
Yeah. I want to know. Can I know?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
This is Tagalog.
This is Tagalog, yeah. So the girls have the pachang-changs. And daddy has the pituitary. So
glad I asked again. Does not disappoint Aaron Bender. Wow, Filipinos, you got spam, fun words for your genitals?
Yeah.
Oh, pituitary and pachang-chang.
And by the way, and this is something we just kind of not discovered, but talked about this last weekend, is the idea that the Philippines, their best dishes in a climate that is about like Miami cranked up. Okay. So you picture
with both
Miami
heat and humidity.
Heat and humidity off the effing charts. Okay. Mm-hmm. All their dishes, the best dishes, are piping hot. I don't know why.
Ah, yeah.
They make the best soups. They make the best this, that, and the other.
Maybe it's because they just cook it out of the shape.
I don't know. But it's just so weird. But that's off topic.
No, it's great. Let's end with this one is that, this one I actually really, truly, strongly believe in. I'm making a promise to not get, and I said it, like I said with Jane, I might be being biased because I am a husband, but I'm making a promise to not give all my time to being a good mom, but make sure to have some of me to share with my super fantastic, supportive husband. Giving my children a good example of a healthy and loving marriage will hopefully help them feel secure, confident, and blessed. Now, I have read books from multiple child development doctors and specialists, and they all say that you have to take time to focus on your relationship with, you know, for the kids, because it does create that, especially when they're babies, is what I remember reading. Kind of a thing. But here's the thing I think that, and I, because we do have a lot of moms that listen to the show, and why I wanted to bring this up is that, especially if you got a man, it's hard to focus because as a mom, I think you're wired to really zero in on those kids. You're a mama bear. And I don't think there's a man in this world that would begrudge you or judge you for that focus or priority, or maybe even person. But I think to even make it to where you say it like a little bit, you know what I mean? I think that you gotta, because men are not wired. I'm half chick. So I'm not wired. I know that men aren't wired to kind of say like, "Hey, I need a hug Right. Or maybe a little something more.
Mm-hmm.
Meow. I don't know why I meowed. That's the least masculine thing I think I've done in my life.
That's the half chick coming out.
Yeah. My bad. My mangina just fell out of my pants. but it's that they still need to be appreciated, mm-hmm. and it can be rough. Most guys take it on the chin and they're just totally fine. But there are dudes out there who maybe are a little even more vocal, where it's like, hey, listen, I'm also a person. And it's a really hard thing to go through, where you're like looking at someone who's like getting 3 hours of sleep and right. just constantly getting pissed and vomited on. And right. you know what I mean? And go, hey, can I also have a conversation or share a meal with you? Meanwhile, I, as this person, maybe I work a full time job and I haven't done a load of laundry in 45 years of my existence. I don't know. So it's like there's a lot of animosity that can be built in because there's a lot of comparing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, well, you did this. You know what I mean? And if everybody peed in a fountain and could swap lives, sure, there would be a lot more respect, you know, happening. But I'm just saying, I think that there's also something in there for the ladies. If you do kind of, it doesn't have to be, I'm not saying it's always sex either. Although I'm telling you, that is a great way to get full and extra credit. If you want to go for A+ effort, you know what I mean? You just go straight to the sexy time. And that is exactly like time. But then there's also guys that you're married to that are like me, that rock a mangina. And sure, I love me some sexy time. But also, you know what is nice? Hugs and words of affirmation, where I get told, hey, I love you. You're doing a great job. Thanks for everything you do for the family.
It goes back to the balance.
Yeah.
You know, work life and kids spouse.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's do a little moment of the week and then we can wrap this mother up.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack or the parental James Bond with the diaper vest. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA.
All right, Mr. Bender, would you like to go first?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, this was not timed for this podcast, knowing that I was going to be doing this podcast. I did not create a moment of the week. And I thought about it. I talked with my wife. Hey, I'm going to be on the Dad Podcast.
I like that.
And we're going to need a moment of the week. Can you help me create one?
Yeah, no. I like that pressure.
So last week, we got a couple of beds for the girls because we have been co-sleeping for the last 4 years, the better part of the last 4 years, all in a king-size bed. My wife... We tried to put Marin in her own room early on, 3, 4, 5 months old, and she's a crier, a big time crier. And we're like, you know what? We both need to work. We both have to wake up tomorrow morning or get some sleep before whatever the case. And my wife just nursed Marin in bed. That's just what it was. And we're like, that's cool because we're all comfortable, right? We even bought one of those beds where you know you can jump on one side and the glass of wine doesn't spill on the other.
Oh, yeah.
So that when I was working nights, so that when I got home at 2 a.m, I wouldn't wake anybody up getting into bed, rocking everybody. Yeah. And when my wife was then pregnant with Wiley, we're like, well, we can't kick Marin out and then bring Wiley in because then Marin is going to get all pissed that, you know, Wiley's getting that prime time mommy time in the overnight hours. So it just became all four of us. So we got two beds this last week because it just felt like it was time. And my wife's really good about that. I'm like, just put them in there. just go. No, go.
Yeah, that's a dad solution. Rip it off like a Band-Aid. You're fine. Walk it off. Put some dirt on it.
She has a different responsibility to them than I do. And it's not just a matter of, like you said, ripping off the Band-Aid. There is a physiological thing that she goes through with the girls because she nurses Wiley. She's, you know, nursing her overnight and doesn't want to have to get up every, you know, whatever it is. If Wiley's having a rough night, then my wife's getting up 4, 5, 6 hours,
yeah.
4, 5, 6 times if they're in another room. But it seemed like it was a good time. So we got a couple of beds from IKEA. They're extendable. So a short bed is for Wiley and a long bed is for Marin, and they are in the same room so that they can be together. They
don't feel alone.
They don't feel alone. And so last, I think it was Friday or Saturday night, they went to bed in their own beds in their own room for the first time ever.
Wow.
They didn't stay there. Wiley woke up 2 or 3 hours later crying. Maron, same thing. But then the next night, Maron got up and just came in the bed with us. And, you know, Wiley, same thing. When Wiley woke up, we bring her in bed. But the fact that they're willing to and excited about going to sleep in their own beds in their own room.
And they're starting there.
They're starting there.
They're still starting. Yeah, that's great.
They're starting there. And, you know, whenever Maron wants to stay there through the night, that's cool. But if she doesn't, that's cool, too, because it's just it's progress.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. That's cool. Well, it's funny that that's your moment, because I immediately was thinking, like when the kids are gone, you have the awkward conversation. Nice thing about when they're out of the bed, you're sleeping anyway. You know what I mean? So you don't have that's time you don't have to fill. You know?
Yeah. Like, okay, good night.
I love you.
What happened that night is I crashed out.
Yeah.
And now I crash out anyway. I have no problem sleeping anywhere, anytime, under any conditions.
Yeah.
My wife was up for about 2 or 3 hours until the girls woke up, because she's freaking out. She's like, I don't know what to do. I've never had this much space.
This is new for her, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we're both making sheet angels, you know, in the bed or whatever.
You make a fort.
Yeah. That would be, oh my God, that'd be fantastic. But yeah, we kind of looked around like, well, what do we do? Well, I'm going to bed. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. That's great. So we had, for my guys, it's kind of actually a co-sleeping thing. We don't co-sleep with our kids. So, but we had to, when we went to go visit my parents, we were all in the same room. My son was on kind of like one of those cushion type chair things that can fold out to kind of like a cot bed. And then Jack slept with us. And it was funny because I never really got to deal with that. You, though, can go, oh, yeah, that's my everyday. And even laugh at me because I find it amusing,
right,
what I'm about to tell you.
Oh,
but
no.
The random punch to the throat that I would get in the middle of the night. Even better than that, the constant kicking to the nards.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. I was just like, oh, my gosh.
The better part of the last 4 years has been spent wearing body armor in my own bed.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed that I didn't think of it while I was there, probably because I was so tired for being woken up. But the fact that you go to sleep without a cup on is just insane to me. In fact, I think I know what I'm going to get you for a birthday.
Oh, God.
And because I buy it for you, that means this whole bed thing is going to be turned. It's going to make it useless. But anyway, so it was a lot of that. And then my favorite one, though, was the random, like, hand to the hair. And this happened to my wife, too. Hand to the hair, and then the massaging of the hair that when you wake up, you're like, is that my wife? Like,
who is that?
You know what I mean? Like, I imagine like rolling, like for me, I was like, she was rubbing my hair, and luckily that's not our signal, but I'm like, I am not doing that with this kid.
Do you
kid.
Have a signal?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mine is, I kiss my wife on the back of the neck. That is like, hey, you want some go time?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Hers is
hold
just
on, I'm
touching.
Texting my wife. Yeah. We need a signal.
Yeah, hers is just touching me. That's all she is. She says I mistake cuddling, and I get my signals crossed. But
when she acknowledges your existence,
yes.
it's go time.
One of my favorite conversations I had with my wife before we went to sleep was she was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting like you. I'm getting hot, because she always wears like pajamas to bed.
Oh, right.
And I go naked. You're welcome for the visual. And
bam.
So anyway, so she's like, oh my God, it's so hot. I go, you know, I've been telling you this for years. You should just come to bed naked. I'm telling you, it would be great. And she was like, she literally said, well, then you just want to try to have sex with me every night. And it was like, beat. And I went, and? Like, I don't understand how this breaks bad for you yet. But anyway, so it was adorable. He would grab my hand and just to see him like right in your face when you would kind of open your eyes, and he's right there with his mouth open. It was adorable. I found it very cute. Jacob was a thing that kind of snuck up on me. When we go, we play board games as a family up at the cabin. Mm-hmm. And he got super excited about playing Scrabble. And so it was just a fun thing. I'm not very good at feeling braggy about my kids. But this was one of those things where Jacob is a pretty advanced reader for his age. He's reading at like a fifth grade reading level, even though he's in second grade. And so he's playing Scrabble with these adults. And I don't usually have that, and that's why I bring it up here, is that I found myself going, look at my kid, man, fucking killing it at Scrabble with his 22-year-old cousins. Now, he wasn't running the table.
Right.
And there was a lot of leeway that was given, but it was a thing where he could he could kind of, he was at least making words, and he's only in second grade.
Right. The fact that he could form words with these and understand, like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I take these tiles, I take these letters, and I form words. That's awesome.
It was awesome.
So I'm kind of in the same boat where I don't like bragging about my children because I don't like hearing other parents obviously brag about their children, and I don't want to be that guy.
Right, right.
But like you said, when they're doing something that's badass, it's like, yes, hell yeah, my 1.5-year-old is counting to 10 and really super effing excited about it.
Yeah.
I like how I still can't curse. You're
trained. I noticed that too.
That's the thing.
Trust me, it's a double-edged sword. It's that I get to live with it. You have spent a life as a broadcast professional using letters in your phrasing. I have spent a lifetime telling dick jokes and saying the word fuck in front of as many people as I possibly could, and then had the idea of going, you know what, let's put it on the internet to live forever.
Done.
And then I now work in your world, and so I sometimes get the meat sweats about saying dick or something like that. Not so much like when I was on with Jane Wells, especially when I get passionate, I'm like, I just don't say, are you fucking kidding me? That's all you guys,
whatever you do, don't
whatever
say
you do, and stop thinking about not saying, are you
I know,
fucking,
that's
you're
going to
say fucking.
That's the problem.
Oh, so much fun, Aaron Bender. We got to do this again.
That was fun AF.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
That was our show. You can send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Also, I don't have my little drop for it because we're recording this at the radio station, but if you are new to the show and want to find some more like-minded parents, our fantastic Butcher Drew, who says, all right, all right, all right. He has a great group, a fan group. It's called Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast, and you can chat with like-minded parents. They post great memes and share their own moments of the week and ask questions. It's a great place to go and hang out, like I said, and find like-minded people. Everyone should be following Aaron Bender. It is AaronBender. Do not panic if you are in your car or on a treadmill. The spelling for that is in the description of this episode, but that is across the board, all social media.
Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat.
Yes.
Not on Facebook, but you can follow our show on Facebook, Wake Up Call KFI.
Perfect. And yeah, you can listen to the podcast. Search the podcast. It's Wake Up Call, all one word, in iTunes. And you'll see Aaron Bender's face with the fantastic Jennifer Jones Lee. And that is a great way to get news and get caught up on current events, because sometimes as parents, we get stuck underneath a rock and have no freaking clue about, like, my fear is that somebody's going, wait, Debbie Reynolds is gone?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. And if you are that person, by the way, you also need to subscribe to Wake Up Call, because it's a great way in 30 minutes to get caught up on everything that is going on very, very quick and very, very fast. But yeah, give them a follow on all of that stuff. So I think that's it. Oh, go to thedadpodcast.com. Go down to the bottom of the page. Click on that Amazon banner. Bookmark that as your Amazon banner, because every time you purchase something from there, Daddy gets a little taste. It costs you nothing. All it does is put ducats in my pocket for saying fuck to you over the internet. You're welcome. On behalf of Aaron Bender, this is Justin Worship saying hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.